But actually this morning, because it's still early, we'll talk about Spirit-led life. And we're going to go into a journey on this Spirit-led life because we kind of talked about the plan that God has for us over the last couple of 3 months. And so we're going into this area that empowers us to walk in His plan. It isn't anything about belonging to the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, the Richmond Pentecostal Church. It's got nothing to do with your heritage. It's got nothing to do with any of those things. It's got everything to do with being born again by the Spirit of God and then having that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead live in you and allowing Him to do what He wants to do through your life. That's what we are. We are Pentecostal people, not big Pentecostal, hallelujah. We're people who have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And we need to walk in that. We need to walk in it more than we've ever walked in it before in our lives. Because Jesus is coming back. Coming back for a church that's doing something. That's not a condemning statement. He just wants you to be caught up in things that He's doing. So we're going to follow along here. In John chapter 14, and I'm just going to set a little bit of an introduction here. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And verse 16 says, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate, or a counselor, or the one who comes, it's called the paraclete, the one who comes alongside. This is going to be the person that lives inside of you and guides you, if you'll let Him. And if you'll let Him, you'll have the most adventurous life you could ever imagine. And sometimes you'll go, I can't do that. And that's true, you can't, but He can through you. So He's going to send that advocate, that helper, that counselor, that consoler, comforter to help you and to be with you forever. Isn't that cool? Get to know Him because you're going to hang out with Him for all eternity. That's a good thing. Don't get surprised in heaven and go, oh, that's the Holy Spirit. You don't want to be surprised in heaven. You want to go, right on, what do we do now? How many of you think heaven's just going to be one big church service? Good, because it's not. Could you imagine that? Who's going to speak this Sunday? Another series with Jim Caruso. No, it's not going to be anything like that. There's going to be so much to do. It's going to be exciting. So the Spirit of truth will be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. And if you know the truth, what will happen? You'll be free. We talked a bit about freedom before. Let's continue on. It says, the world cannot accept Him, the Holy Spirit, because it neither sees Him or knows Him. Isn't that interesting? You can get a picture of Jesus because we have some concepts of, and He reflected the Father, so we kind of have a concept of who Jesus is and who the Father is, but guess what? The Holy Spirit doesn't really have a face. And you know that's sometimes comforting for somebody who's walking through some dark areas, some difficulties, some brokenness in their lives where there may have been something that has separated them from being able to connect with Jesus the Son and God the Father, because there may have been things that happened in their life that separated them and they can connect with the Holy Spirit because He's not threatening to them. You understand what I'm saying? And it says, the world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him or knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. Not something that you just plug in on Sunday mornings. He'll be with you all the time. All the time. And He says, I'll not leave you as orphans, I'll come to you. Jesus is coming back. We don't hear much about that anymore, but He's coming back. He's coming back for His church, and I think He's not coming back for quite a while until we do what we're privileged to do, and that's to lead as many people to Him as possible. You cannot take anything in this world with you when you go to heaven. Nothing except the people that you've touched their lives. That's all you can do. That's the most valuable thing. And maybe some of you are here saying, well, I don't know what it really means to be a follower of Jesus. I don't know what it means. Well, hopefully this morning will help you clarify that. But as we go along, you'll learn not only about the work of the Holy Spirit, but what he does in your life every day if you'll let him. Let's jump to John chapter 16. But verily I say unto you, it is good for you that I'm going away. That's what Jesus told his disciples. Unless I go away, the advocate, again, the counselor, the comforter, the paraclete, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus sent him to us. When he comes, he'll prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in him or believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can no longer see me. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. This is kind of mystical. This is kind of like a different dimension than we live in. This is the Holy Spirit in the spiritual realm. We have three dimensions that we live in. This is the fourth dimension, if you want. This is an area that we need to start living in. We need to understand that there's a dimension out there that we are not entering into all the time. Maybe some are, but that we need to actually start walking in the presence and the reality of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in our lives. God is doing stuff in the supernatural area that sometimes we don't kind of tune into. I have much more to say to you, Jesus says, more than you can bear now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Isn't that interesting? And he'll glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. It's a kind of a lawyer talk, right? What he's saying is everything you hear from the Holy Spirit will be sent by Jesus. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. In other words, it's like the Holy Spirit is going to speak into your life. And the direction is going to come from Jesus Christ, and it's going to point you to the Father. So if you want to, and I try to figure out what kind of a metaphor might work here, is that Jesus is the vehicle. The Holy Spirit's the power, and the destination's the Father. You understand that? Is that okay? It's not sacrilegious. You got to understand that Jesus is the vehicle that we come to know the Father by through the death on the cross. And we just celebrated that. It was wonderful. We celebrated Easter, and we had a wonderful service here. But Easter doesn't stop on Monday. The promise and the gifts that God has given to us carry on every day. And this is why Jesus said, I'm going away. But where I'm going to go, you cannot come yet, because the Holy Spirit's going to come, and you got work to do here before I come back for my church. He's coming back. Do you know that? I'm excited about it. I'm excited sometimes more days than others, especially when the days are really bad. This is the day to come back, Jesus. On the happy days, not so much, right? You know, if you got something going and it's really good, like you got holidays coming up, or the new truck you're going to buy, or, or the kids are here, like, okay, come on Tuesday. So we just like to have a little family time before you come, you know? We kind of plan this, but Jesus is coming back for his church, and we're going to spend eternity together. So how do we do that? There's a scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, that talks about this. And so we're going to go into this series about the work of the Holy Spirit. We're working on this area of salvation right now, the work of the Holy Spirit in redemption, salvation. We're going to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in power. We're going to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in the family. We're going to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in the fruit. We're going to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in the gifts. Because we need to know that so that we can do it. Did you know that? We need to know it so we can apply it. We need to know it so that it becomes part of us. We need to know it so that everything just happens every day through the filter of the Holy Spirit, not through our filters. And so it says, for those who are led, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Are you led by the Spirit of God? Have you been led to the cross? Have you been led in everything you're doing? If you've been led by the Spirit of God, you're the children of God. These kids up there, they're just a blessing to Elaine and I. They're our kids. I just looked and realized that we filled a whole bench, like I said. We caused that. That's a good cause. And there's a whole bunch of little ones, and they'll go, and it'll be perpetual. We're going to make our mark in the world, and a Caruso name's going to carry on.
Right. That's very important for my family name to carry on.
I talked to Jazz and asked him if he'd mind changing his name. It's so important to know that you're part of his family, God's family. You're his kids. I love my kids. I love my grandkids. And I'm limited in the ability to love. He's not. Every one of you, and listen, every one of you, whether you've accepted him or not as your Savior, is your dad. You're all created in the image of God. Isn't that something? I go, well, that's, how do you figure that? Well, it says that we're all created in the image of God, and that we were generated into that image. And then when things happened in the Garden of Eden, there was a separation that came. And that separation set us apart from God's presence. And it's interesting that he kicked them out of the garden. And he did it because he loved them. And you kind of think, well, like, that's not very nice. He kicked them out of a beautiful paradise. But if they would have grabbed hold of that tree of eternity, they would have been in sin for eternity. So he kicked them out so that they could go through the process to find that Jesus has a plan, or God had a plan to send Jesus for redemption, and that they could receive that. Well, you might say, well, the Old Testament, there's no altar calls. Actually, if you do a little history, there was actually no altar calls till about late 1800s. I don't know how they did it before then, because I like to hear the salvation message, and I like to hear people say the salvation message, but it's a heart thing. It's not a manufactured thing. It's something that speaks into your heart, and that someone that speaks into your heart to change it is the Holy Spirit. So he's into the whole process of redemption. It's not a church. It's not a formula. It's the Holy Spirit of God speaking into your heart. And I don't know what your story is, but when we came to Christ, we went to a little church, and I probably told you this story, went to a little church where there's 12 people. We had no idea. We sat right against the back because if all hell broke loose, that's what I thought, then we could at least get out right away. And the pastor was up there, and he's a pretty big dude, probably about 280, 300 pounds, preaching away. He's had big hands like this, you know. And he says, I just feel. Maybe he never said it that way, but it makes it more dramatic. I just feel that there's two people here that don't know Jesus. Well, yeah. Now we know that like four of them were his family. The other ones were on the board. We're the new ones in town. They've been praying for us, like real spirit revelation. I don't think so. But I didn't know that because the Spirit of God spoke into my heart and said, I'm one of them. It wasn't the preacher. It wasn't the church. It wasn't anything except the Holy Spirit saying, Jim, you need to change your life. And I didn't even know what it was because I was a pretty good sinner. You know, there's some levels, right? There's some really bad ones, but I figured I was pretty good. Like God was getting a deal when he got me. I could do a lot good for him, so I could change. That would be okay. Leslie was 8 months old at that time. So we felt, okay, we needed to go to church because she needs to learn right from wrong. At 8 months, how do you learn right from wrong? We needed an excuse to go. And so he called at the end of his sermon, and we responded to the Holy Spirit. And I went up, and it was like a bunch of guys that I'd known just put hands on me, and led me through the sinner's prayer, and there was something that changed in my life. I felt this burden lift. I felt this washing go on. I didn't know what it was. Because we don't know what it is. But I do know that when I went home that night, I was a different person. I was a new creation. We'll talk about that in this series. I was a new creation in Christ. I was born twice. We know we're born again. I was born twice, and how do you do that? Now let's go to some more scripture here. And we know the story about Nicodemus. And it's kind of a cheesy little picture I have of Nicodemus and Jesus, but there's just nothing out there that really cuts it for me. John 3:10, it says this: "You are Israel's teacher," Jesus said to Nicodemus, "and you don't understand these things?" So here we have this very educated theologian, very law-abiding, religious law-abiding person, and Jesus is speaking to him, and he goes, "How can you be born again?" Came to him at night. Sometimes we don't want to come and be seen by others. Especially, it actually would have affected his lifestyle quite a bit to be seen with Jesus, because there was a contradiction, and it was that very team that held the false trial and put him on the cross. So John 3 says this: "There was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus that night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can perform the signs you are doing if God was not with him.'" The Holy Spirit reveals the power of God. So you need to be very bold in your witness, in the opportunities that you have. If somebody has a need, you need to be able to say, "You know what? I believe in Christ and I have the Holy Spirit in me." Well, maybe you don't have to do all that. You could just say, "You know what? Let me pray for you. I believe God can heal you. Let me pray for you. I believe that God can meet that need. Let me pray for you." You know, it's got nothing to do with how good you are. It's got everything to do with how obedient you are. And just let God look after the pieces and parts that happen. If there's some awesome stuff that happened, he gets the glory. If it doesn't go very well, he deals with that too. If we start going, "Oh, look at the kind of ministry I have. I just touch people and hallelujah, they're just healed, and well, you know, and everything I touch turns to gold, and hallelujah, you just got to be around me." When things don't go bad, it's pretty tough on you. Because then you go, "Oh, I haven't been praying enough, I haven't been fasting enough, I swore when I was 7, and I never dealt with that." Come off it. You don't get the glory. We just sang it. Give him the glory. But be a vehicle that can be used by him to be glorifying to him. That's what you want to be, that's what you should be, and that's what he's called you to be. And Jesus replied, "Verily, truly, I say unto you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again." Okay. This would challenge anybody, right? Now, we know it. We learn it in Sunday school, but we don't still understand it, do you? Except when you understand that you are born again in your spirit, not in your flesh. You're born of the water. That's your flesh. Let's go on here. "How can someone be born again when they're old?" Nicodemus said, "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born." And Jesus said, "Verily, truly, I say unto you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and of the spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised by my saying you must be born again." You must be twice born. And I talk about that because in the garden, you were generated towards the Spirit of God. You were in sync, or Adam and Eve were in sync with God. And then when they sinned, there was a degeneration or ungeneration of their relationship. They were still spiritual beings that would live forever, but they were separated. And so God had this plan from the foundation of the world that we would become people who could reach out and take the gift of salvation. And that's being born again. Your spirit is born again. You're twice born. Your spirit is born again. And how complicated is that? Jesus knew that this was just kind of, Nicodemus' mind was just going like this. He was going, I don't understand this. You're not making any sense. And he says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. Have you noticed that? Have you ever been where the wind started? Or where it finished? I was in Newfoundland, and I was up on Signal Hill, and the wind was blowing so hard that I was like this, walking, and I thought, if the wind stops, I'm going to kiss the pavement. I don't know where the wind came from. It's still there. It's still there. It blows all over that rock. But I don't know where it came from, and I don't know where it ends. So he said that. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So is it everyone who's born of the Spirit. Don't you think it's kind of cool that on the day of Pentecost, there were all 120 of them up in the room, and the wind came through and like a freight train. Don't you think that would get your attention? The wind, I don't know where it started, but it came through that room, and everybody knew that the wind was blowing. The pneuma, the Holy Spirit, was blowing in that area, and their lives changed. Not that they became born again, but they became filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues and went out and witnessed to people and laid hands on people, and the book of Acts was born, and things happened, and things are still happening that way. We are an Acts church. That book is only going to be finished when we get caught up into heaven. So let's look at born of the water. That's natural birth. So it says, Adam loved his wife Eve and slept with her. She became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the Lord's help, I've had a baby boy. So that's how God had the whole thing work out, so that after our own kind. And so we know the story about, can you imagine, out of that little group there, came all of us. And we all look different. But we all reflect the image of God. Isn't that amazing? Like, we all look, so you kind of, how do you picture God the Father? Well, he's kind of old. He's got a big gray beard and he's got glasses. No. He might be totally different in somebody else's mind. I don't know what the Father looks like. I actually don't know what Jesus looks like, but I know he hasn't got blue eyes. And I know he doesn't have an English accent. I just think that we have this concept because we need to be able to have something tangible to hold on to. But he is Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Born of the Spirit is born again, or born twice. So it's different than the flesh. But when the kindness of God, and the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of his righteousness or the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. There's no way that you could be clean enough to have Christ accept you, because it wasn't to do with anything we could do. It was the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. So now you're born into this family of God. Every one of you, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're born into that family of God. Some of you might say, I know all this. That's good. Some of you might say, I never had any of this kind of thing explained before. And that's good too, because what God wants you to do is know about this. And if you know about this, he wants you to walk in it. And if you don't know about it, he wants to invite you into it so that you can walk in it and so that you can have a full life in this world until he comes back for his church. That's what it's all about, because he's coming back. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 to 15, and I did the Phillips translation because it says, but we can thank God continually for you, brothers, whom the Lord loves. He has chosen you from the beginning to save you, to make you holy by the work of his Spirit, and your own belief in the truth. That's how it is. It's no coercion. It's no sign here and you get a free pencil. You know, we have some campaigns to bring kids to Sunday school. I was into one of those in the Baptist Church in Princeton. I don't know how many kids got saved because of me, but they had this thing where you got free pencils, free rulers, and free erasers. So I would bring kids to Sunday school, dump them off, get my pencil and all my prizes and the nickel that my mom gave me, and I would head out and leave them there. I don't know how many kids got saved. They're probably in the ministry now, but I wasn't there to get the gift that God had for me. I was too much into getting what I wanted. And then the bowling alley was pretty close by, and that nickel bought a lot in those days. You need to know that God does the work in your life. And some of you might say, well, you know, I did it a long time ago, and I don't feel them. I don't feel them. I feel like it's just like this God, I see him working other people's lives, but I don't see him doing anything in my life. I don't see that he even cares for me. Well, let me tell you, he wants to refresh that relationship with you. His heart is to fill you. His heart is to make you fresh and clean. His heart is so that you feel that you have been born again. And that's not like this airy-fairy kind of born-again stuff. This is new life. As a paramedic, I don't know how many people I performed CPR on. And the stats aren't that good for all the ones that actually made it to the ones who came back. Twice I remember doing CPR on somebody for like an hour and a half. And all the drugs, we ran all the drugs in. We did everything that you could possibly do in the human realm. And I remember watching this one person after an hour and a half and a pretty sore chest, I imagine. And they went like this. And their heart started and they started breathing. That's the best picture of being born again I ever seen. Because I know that person was dead for 45 minutes to an hour and a half. Dead. Clinically dead. The only rhythm that they had was the rhythm that we were doing. All the drugs, you know, your heart runs on electricity, so all the drugs that they run in there cause your just like a battery, they cause this chemical solution to start igniting different things. I think the heart is an amazing thing that God's created, because it's just like you have one ignition point in your car. You put the key in and turn it on. God has created your heart with 7 ignition points. If one doesn't work, the other one will work. If that one doesn't work, the other one will work. And it gets right down. And I think it's really interesting. And as Christians, we kind of stretch these things a little bit. But it's the last thing is that around your heart is this nerve system. It's like a net. And it's called the bundle of His. H-I-S. Isn't that neat? The bundle of His. Like His hands on your heart. That's how much He cares for your life in the physical. Think how much He cares for your life in the spiritual. He wants you to walk in that realm. He wants you to believe that He can do anything. He wants you to be able to lay hands on people. He wants you to be able to speak into their life with words that are encouraging, that are and are full of life. That's what He wants for you. Because when you see that, when you see somebody set free from sickness or from a demon or from some depression or something, it's just an amazing thing that God allowed you to be part of that. So here's how it works. Romans 10, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's pretty cool. You also notice that things that you confess with your mouth can bring death. Ever been in one of those kind of verbal battles with somebody you love? You know how it is? Like, you say things that just cut and bring death. Or you might have been raised in a home that just brought nothing but discouragement and nothing but you're useless. You're just a waste of skin. You'll never amount to anything. Nobody will ever love you, blah, blah, blah. That is from the pit of hell. That's not life-giving. And God, through the Holy Spirit, wants you even right now to start realizing that he has given you life through his Spirit. And you have value and worth and purpose. And he wants you to know that you are loved. That he has a purpose for you. That you are someone special. And not in the wrong way. You are someone special in his family. And he wants to live inside of you. Because it's for with your heart that you believe and you are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Consequently, faith cometh by hearing and the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. You need to take this thing and you need to live it. You need to find a translation that works for you, if it's King James or if it's a living word or if it's a message or if it's the NIV or whatever it is. Just get this stuff and get it into your heart. And if you use it on your, it's not wrong to use electronic Bibles. Okay, they're just as good. Really, they are. And actually, in a sense, you can get 17 or 20 electronic Bible translations and you only may have one here. You need to bounce around, check things out. You need to get the word inside of you. John 16, 7 to 11 says, "But verily I say to you, it is for your good that I'm going away." I think I already preached that, didn't I? Some of you were listening. It's so good. Let's go to Romans 5:12. It says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through another, in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a commandment, as Adam, who is the pattern of the one to come." Again, some more legalese kind of lawyer stuff. that the separation came in the Garden of Eden. The law came with Moses. There's a big chunk of time in there. So the law became the directive to show us that we're sinners. There was a whole bunch of laws, and then the Israelites or the Jews made a whole bunch more, and it was impossible to follow all those laws. And the scripture says that if you break one of the laws, you break them all. And so they were trying really hard on their own. And so that's what that scripture says, is that it's not about you abiding in the law. It's about you allowing the Holy Spirit to come in through grace, through mercy, and give you an experience of being generated back, regenerated back into the kingdom of God. And there's one guy named Adam. And we got to bring Eve in on this too. She had a bit of a part in that. There's one guy named Adam that caused the whole human race to fail and separate from God. And so it says in Corinthians that we have a second Adam, who is Jesus, who came and sacrificed his life that we might be all regenerated into the kingdom of God. Consequently, as just one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so one righteous act resulted in justification for all the other people. So, these are big words. Condemnation. You have no way out of condemnation. You're condemned to die. But justification is the act that Christ gave through his death on the cross, which brought us into right standing with the Father. I like it. I don't know how correct it is, but justification means just as if I never sinned. Pretty simple. I don't think we need to get really complicated in this. One Adam sinned. The second Adam came and built the bridge for us to go across into Jesus or into God the Father. For just as though the disobedience of one man, there are many made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, the many will become righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we may become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's got nothing to do with you, except that you respond and take it. Do you understand that? It's not, and there's no list out there, predestination. There's no list because it says that he does not want anyone to perish. So every person, salvation is a gift by the Holy Spirit. So here's the kind of, as we conclude right now, it says, and Jesus answered to Nicodemus. Can you imagine? This is the discussion, and even the wonderful thing that we talk about, for God so loved the world that gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That was said to Nicodemus. Did you know that? The conversation carried on. I didn't know that, really. I feel maybe I shouldn't be so transparent. I should know everything. You'll get to know that's not true. The reality is that he had this conversation. That's what we're reading. The Holy Spirit spoke to John, who wasn't there, about Nicodemus and Jesus in their discussion. And it was like, we have this scripture that we say all the time, for God so loved the world. Well, it was to the Pharisee that Jesus said that. And Jesus answered, very true, I say unto you, no one can come to the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and of the Spirit. Because flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. Maybe you don't understand, or maybe you do, that you are a spiritual being as well as a flesh being. You are spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. And you need to understand that when you have given your life to Christ and you're born again, your spirit is safe in Jesus, okay? You need to understand that. The enemy cannot come in and possess you. He cannot come in and destroy you. He cannot come in and separate you from the Father, because it says in Romans chapter 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing, and he lists it all. You need to understand that, because the devil comes in saying, you know what, you're walking on thin ice. You're walking by the wire. You're just walking by the wire. You're going to fall, and you're going to go to hell. You know what you did yesterday? You know what you said? How you treated your spouse, your kids? You know what you did at work? You know all that kind of stuff? You remember when you were in traffic? Remember? Remember what you did? The enemy's right there saying, hey, some Christian you are. No. Some person you are that's still struggling with stuff inside of your soul. All right? And God has a whole repair business going on for your soul. But your spirit is safe with him. Understand it. Your spirit is safe with him. When you accept him as your personal savior. And then he wants to work in your soul if you'll let him. And he wants to work in your body as well. That's why he's given us physical healing. And that's why he's given us wisdom in how to look after ourselves and how to care for ourselves. Because he has given us a length of time. It says in Psalms 139, it says that all the days you have before there is even one, yet one of them, God knew that how many there were. That's a bit of a Jim Caruso translation, but I think you followed it. God knows how many days that you have before you're going to die and go to heaven. I don't know whether you heard, and this is such a tragedy, but in Bonnie Lake, Washington, a youth pastor and his wife and their 8-month-old baby were driving to the Home Depot or something like that in their pickup truck, and a chunk of concrete came off the overpass and killed all three of them instantly. They're young. They're dynamic. That church this morning is going through grief. but also in a sense joy because they know where these kids are. We don't know how long we have, none of us do, but we need to walk into the end of that with the full knowledge that we are doing what God wants us to do, that we're living in that spirit that he's put inside of us, that we know without a doubt that if he is to come back or we're to go to him, that we are right in the place where he wants us to be. That's what it's all about. It's not about your career. It's not about your retirement. It's not about your car. It's not about your house. It's not about anything like that. It's everything about what he wants you to do to know that you are part of his family and that he lives inside of you. And every one of you equally have that. I'm not any more special than you. Well, maybe a little bit. No. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. He doesn't look at me and go, wow, Jim, you're just cranking it out, man. You're doing well. We are so blessed in heaven to have you in RPC. Like, man, we're just hoping for that. We're hoping that you would just come and just say yes, you would. No, it's not like that at all. I'll tell you something, though. He's happy you're here as well as he's happy I'm here. Because he has some work for us to do. And that's not, oh, no, here we go. This is the old pitch. Get doing something. No, no, it's not the pitch to do that. It's understanding that he lives inside of you and you have this life of adventure ahead of you if you'll live in that spirit realm. That's what the Holy Spirit wants you to know about being born again. Born twice. If I have that team come back up, please. The Holy Spirit is amazing. You imagine that Jesus came to earth, born of a virgin. That was Holy Spirit. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit in this young girl's womb. It had to be that way because Adam and Eve, all their generations have brought the sinful blood through. This didn't happen because Jesus was conceived of a virgin. So he was the perfect sacrifice to go on our behalf. Perfect, cleansed sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. His blood was the only sinless blood since Adam before he sinned. Isn't that amazing? You read the book of Hebrews, it's amazing stuff in there. And Jesus, when he died on the cross, took that blood sacrifice into the throne room of God, and when he said on the cross it was finished, it's finished. And God accepted that once for all. This morning, there's a couple things I want to offer you. First is maybe you're here and you never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Either I totally muddied the water and you're really confused, or the Holy Spirit's been speaking into your heart and you go, you know what, I need that. I had no idea what that preacher was talking about, except inside of me, I knew there was something missing. It was peace. Something was missing in my life. And when he said, would you please come forward and accept Christ? And some of you are going, oh, no, that's what he's going to ask. No, I'm not going to ask that. We're going to have a time of prayer. But I'm going to ask you to speak to God about your salvation, that you need Jesus as your Savior. And I want you to say that prayer out, and we'll do it in a minute here. And then if you want, come and we'd really like you to come and talk to somebody, maybe the prayer line here, or see one of us pastors or one of the board members after, and we can give you some information in that. We want you to grow in this thing. And maybe some of you are here and you've been here and you're just kind of going through the motions, and I know what that's like. You just come to church and it's just a little, like, blah, like, You'd never want to say, you know, that you believe God's dead, but he just, I was talking to a guy who said that it's like looking over, and if you're a pilot, and you look over and the captain's sitting there, but he just had a heart attack, and you're the first mate, or whatever it is, first officer, and you look in, and that's not a good thing, you know, if the captain dies. Some of you kind of think that you're the co-pilots and your pilot died. Look in his face right now. I'll tell you, look into his face and realize that God's not dead. He's surely alive God is not dead. Your captain is not dead. And what you need to do is stop believing the lies that the enemy has told you about yourself and about every circumstance around that. And what you need to do is you need to look into the eyes of the pilot in the pilot seat from where you're sitting in the co-pilot seat. And you need to see life in those eyes. You need to see life, and you need to start drinking that life in, because if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. This is not warm, fluffy stuff coming from Jim Caruso. It's the Word of God. That makes a difference. So maybe you're here and you don't know Christ. Maybe you're here and your walk with Christ has been pretty dry. We're going to have people come up and pray, and maybe if you would just come now, the pastors, spouses, and board members and their wives, and just come up here and get ready to pray for people. I would like you to do that right now, if you would just do that. If we could just stand. The third thing is I want you to think about the lies the enemy's been telling you about, because maybe your lifestyle, maybe you've really messed up. Maybe you've sinned severely, and now you're just kind of, I don't know what to do. I need some penance. I need to do some stuff to make this right. You do not need to do anything to make this right except to ask God to forgive you and move on and quit listening to the lies of the enemy. That's why Christ died, not only for your sins past, but for everything that we commit in the future. It doesn't give you a license to sin, but does give you freedom from that condemnation. So I want you to come. You can come right now. And I'm going to ask that everybody just say this prayer out loud, first of all. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to ask that you would just forgive my sins. I don't know what this even means to be born again. Can you say that? I don't even know what this means to be born again. But I just want you to come in and become my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Lord, I accept you as my Savior. I want you to be my Lord, my Savior, and my best friend. And I know that because of saying this, your Holy Spirit resides in me right now. And I accept that in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Maybe you're struggling with that part about being really dry. Father, I just pray for those who are really dry right now, who have struggled with that distance between you. I pray that you'll just pour out upon them this morning, and just they would just know without a doubt that you're real and that you care for them, that you love them, and you'll fill them. And they'll just feel so different because of your Holy Spirit. And then also pray for those who are battling with the guilt and the shame of sinning. They don't even know who to talk to, or they don't even know how to deal with this. I'll tell you, Lord, would you speak into their hearts and say, this is why Jesus, your Savior, died on the cross. And the enemy does not have a foothold in your life for you to turn that over to Christ. Give it over to him. Let it be where it's supposed to be. Come to the foot of the cross and get yourself free. Just say that prayer. Lord, I need to be free from this sin. I ask your forgiveness. If you've done any of those things, or there's some other things you need, we have oil up here to anoint you with. We just want you to come. You can start coming as the worship team starts.